Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you this fine evening?
Yeah. Lots of golf to talk about, even our golf.
Yes, lots of golf to talk about. Like, there was, just golf all over the place. Where you had the Scottish Open, so then you had a opposite field event on the PGA Tour, and then you had on the LPGA Tour, you had a regular LPGA Tour event, the Dana Open, but then you had a big money event in the Armco Team Series. So, or Armco, whatever. Yeah, Aramco or whatever, however you say it, over in London. So lots of golf. And there was probably a Champions Tour event. But I don't know. There might not have been. We didn't look that up. Didn't watch any of it, if it was honest. Oh, and there was the Lake Tahoe event, the Celebrity Championship as well. So, but let's go to the meat of this, which is our round, right? Our round's like the highlight of this whole deal. No, it was fun. Got out, played Bonnie for the first time. Is this the first time we played all year?
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time, and the schedules never quite match up.
I think we've played. No, it is.
I think it is our first this round, but it nice day at Bonneville.
Yeah, it was hot. I showed up.
It was warm.
1 minute before the tee time rolled out.
You showed up actually on time. I think I hit my tee shot before you actually got out. Yeah. No, almost. I went and picked you up, and we went right to the first tee.
It was a good day. Can't. All I can say is, if you don't prepare to play, you won't play, as you expect.
That is for sure. You hit the driver well.
Yeah.
Irons, different story.
Yeah. Was working out some kinks.
Yeah, it was good. Fun round, though. Fun to get out and hit it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Still, I hit my irons better than you did. But not much. Still struggling with a few things with the irons. But didn't make a lot of putts. That was kind of the big. Made a lot of 5-6 footers, but the nothing.
Greens were tough.
Yeah, they always can be at Bonnie. But it was good to get out. We'll do it again, and hopefully sooner than the 6 months we had in between.
Right
now. Rounds from last time.
For sure.
But no, it was good. Fun to get out. It was like, I think I played a lot of golf last week, actually. 4 or 5 rounds last week. Yeah, because I played on Friday too. Didn't play Thursday. So that's good.
Yeah, you've been golfing a lot.
I've been golfing a good bit. So cannot complain. But let's take it into professional golf. And Rory. Rory wins. Breaks Robert McIntyre. Heart.
Yeah.
Who is a Scottish-born player trying to win his national open. And it looked like he may have a chance. Shoots a solid 64 with a, holds his tee shot left on 18 and hits a great approach shot. Makes a putt, shoots 64 to get, I think at that point, he had a one shot lead over Rory McIlroy. And McIlroy had some chances, right? He had three holes left in that round, and one of them was a par five, which is 16 that he didn't birdie. Had about a 12 footer that he missed. And then 17 and 18 are no easy bargains. Hits it close on 17 with a perfect tee shot, right? Lands it exactly where he needs to. You know, watching other guys, they were just hitting the green and bounding it over, and you know, just quality links golf. It was blowing, so that made it interesting. Hits it there, hits a little low draw that gets just in the fairway, just in the first cut on 18. And I think he was 192 out and had a four iron, switched it to a two iron, and just hits a nice little cut.
It was one of the best shots. I think he even said that it's probably the best shot he hit all year. We've become quite accustomed to Rory McIlroy's just kind of losing steam down the stretch on the last day. And we always hope for a player to show up like Tiger Woods. Although we were just spoiled by having him, but, you know, you put him in a position where he was in the lead or near the lead at 54 holes, and you knew he was going to step on the gas. And so to see Rory actually do that and make the shots that he needed to down the
make
stretch.
The shots, and I don't think it's necessarily been that he hasn't made shots. But we talked about this on more than one occasion that he hasn't had that really like big putt that was of any like significant length, right? There was one where I think he beat Justin Thomas and Finau, right when all the live golf thing kind of popped off, and he knocked a couple just absolutely stony kick-ins, right?
Yeah.
But we've talked about him making a putt of any length to win a tournament has been basically non-existent, and he made a good putt, especially with the wind blowing, right? You heard players talking about putts were getting, basically they'd hit a putt and I think one of the guys said it, he blew it into the hole.
The final day I watched Rory back off from a putt twice because the wind was blowing so much, and like to me I was like, this is true Scottish links golf right there.
Yeah. Elements, just, baby. Elements. Yeah. Because these courses that if they don't have the wind, or you can plod your way around, right?
Yeah.
Pretty easily, right? Because then you don't have to worry about the wind moving your ball. And Rory actually backed off his tee shot on 18 twice just because he got up there and the wind, it would gust. And then he'd get back up to hit again, and it gusted again, like from 16 miles an hour to like 26. So not just a small gust. It was a pretty significant gust. And for him to that was what he needed to do. So whether it bodes well for him going into this week, I don't know. But birdie in the final two holes was nice to see.
It was spectacular. And even during the ceremony, him holding the trophy, the wind just popped his cap right off his head. So loved seeing that wind. It was pretty boss.
We need to see a little bit more of that this week. It's supposed to be rainy, so the conditions will be soft, which can take some of the teeth out of the course. But hopefully with that rain comes a little bit of wind.
Yeah.
To make things interesting. Because then it really does kind of make you hit shots and makes it a shot maker's course, which may affect our
Probably.
picks later on. But yeah, so he does that, gets it done, winning the Scottish Open and giving them some momentum going into this week.
Yeah.
And then back here in the States, Vincent Norman from Sweden, who was the other Swedish player to win this weekend. We'll talk about the other player in just a bit, but wins the Barbasol Championship. And that field was less than stellar, we would say. He was the 287th ranked player in the world going into it. I think he's moved up to 167 is what I saw, or 164 now after his win. But I was looking at that, and I was looking at the Korn Ferry Tour. And the Korn Ferry looked like it had a deeper, more solid field, in my opinion. I didn't do any stats on it, but looking at it, you had a lot of like really good young players, because both the Cootie brothers, who are really good, and a couple of other younger players were playing in that event. And I'm like, I don't know how that happens. You get a better field for a Korn Ferry event than a PGA Tour event. We made light of
Yeah.
it. We made jokes last time of those who were in the field at the Barbasol. But yeah, I just don't know how that happens. Well, we know how it happens, but it shouldn't, right? If you're gonna
Yeah.
be the best tour on the planet, you should probably try to get in the strongest field to the event, no matter what your metrics say
Yeah.
on who gets exemptions.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, that, and then on the LPGA Tour, although this isn't necessarily the LPGA Tour events, Nelly Korda gets back in the winner's circle at the Armico Team Series event in London, which still to this day baffles me with all the hubbub about the public investment fund and there, how bad they are.
Yeah.
But for the LPGA and the women, it's fine for them
That's
to
fine.
have their top players
Yeah.
play in all these events, and
Well, they've
there's
been
no there's
involved
no
for
no
so
words
long.
no words just, well, there has been, I guess, because there's people been, oh yeah, but they need it. I'm like, well, that makes no sense. It's either bad or it's
Yeah.
good. Right.
Everything's okay as long as you rationalize it.
Yeah. So she gets back in because she's hasn't really played that well. So, I mean, she stayed number two in the world, but her performances haven't been as good that in the last couple months. So,
Yeah.
and then on the LPGA Tour event, the Dana Open, Lynn Grant, another Swede. So it was a good week for Swedish-born players. Lynn Grant gets her first LPGA Tour victory on the tour, and does it pretty handily. I mean, just blows away the field with like a 62, I think, on Saturday, and then just plays solid and gets a two or three shot win, I think it was.
Nice.
But good week for Sweden. Now to the Open Championship. Or as Weston lovingly refers to it as,
The
the
British
British
Open
Open.
for the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life. And the thing that is funny about that, we've joked at this, but for the majority of my life, I know that they have always referred to it as the Open Championship. But until recently, it's always been the British Open. Right? I don't know what the big push is to call it in the last five to 10 years to really make a push where it's called the Open Championship. And that's what you have to call it, or you're being derogatory towards the event. But
well, here's my rationale behind it. It's quite simple. The US Open is played in the United States.
Yeah.
That's where it always is. And where is the British Open played? It's played in the UK.
For the most part. They have had some in Ireland.
Is it the UK Ireland or is it the Ireland Ireland?
Ireland. I think it was Ireland Ireland when Shane Lowry won it.
Really? And that could be the case.
Because it was in Northern Ireland. But
you could call it the British Isles then, is it not?
But it's still okay to, I think, refer to it as so, British Open.
It's played there. Is it the UK Open? If it's the Open Championship for the world and you are the world champion, then play it in France, play it in Germany, play it in South America, play it in Canada. Yeah. Then it doesn't have that mystique anymore. It's not at the Royal, which are a specific string of golf courses that are deemed by the Queen or King. So if you're going to have some of these criteria and so tied to the British culture, it shall be known as the British Open. Cancel me now. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. It is what it is. But Rare Liverpool looks like it could be a test. They've done some revamping of the course. Mainly the biggest change is number 17, where they basically built a new hole. They flipped it, right? So now it's going to predominantly be into the breeze, at least into the prevailing breeze. And it's only 136 yards, but it looks like it could be a doozy, right? They're talking about players making sixes and sevens on that hole. And with it being so close to the end of the round, it could be a major turning point. So it's that fun. And then the bunkers, they flattened them out so you don't get that rollback off of the edges of the bunkers against the walls of the bunkers. They're not lips, they're walls. And let's be honest. So you're going to see some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm out there. And then they added, which is the dumbest thing I think that a golf course could do, but they've had it in a couple of Open Championships where they've had in course out of bounds. And they have that on 18, which is a par 5, dogleg right. And so the right side, looks like there's a good 30, 40 yards of area.
Yeah.
Between where the out of bounds stakes are and the grandstands. So to me, it doesn't make any sense, right? Kind of one of the things about links golf that's fun is that it's a big golf course, right? You can hit it over there. Uh-huh. You have to play some, you know, pretty crazy shots, but to take that out of there, I don't know whether they just didn't want people just trying to really squeeze that corner and then still being able to play it up close, because I don't think it's an extra long hole, an extra long par 5 by standards. But so that could be interesting too. But like Brooks Koepka said in his interviews, like, well, you can just blow it a million yards left. You might be in the rough, but you can blow it as far left as you want and you'll be in play. So that'll be good. It'll be fun. It's supposed to be rainy, whether it's supposed to be windy. I don't know, but there's supposed to be some rain, and usually that is accompanied by wind. which
Yeah.
is what makes Lynx Golf Lynx Golf and what
Yeah,
provides
as
the
it should be.
challenge. So
Yeah.
we're hoping for that.
I'm excited. I'm excited for this course, this layout. There's some heritage there. The postage stamp par three. Just teeny little stuff. I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be fun. And you'd either have to, I mean, where we're at, Utah time, Mountain Standard time, coverage begins at 11:30 on Wednesday, 11:30 p.m. on Wednesday,
Hey,
and gets over at 1 o'clock.
right when I start cooking.
Yeah, there you go. So you either gotta stay up late or get up early, one of the two, take a nap so you can just take in little chunks as you go through. And but yeah, it'll be a fun one to watch. I'm sure last time it was here in 2014, Rory McIlroy did get the victory by 2 shots over a now emerging Ricky Fowler, who was runner up by 2 shots, and he's coming into form, so could have a rematch of that is a possibility. So, but let's go into our picks. I mean, we like Lynx Golf. Now we get to see how good our pickers are. Our feel for the thing. And so we changed it up a little bit from last time. Last time we did a favorite in the dark horse. This time we will go an American, an international player, and a dark horse. And I think I picked first last time, so I'll let you pick your American first.
My Americano. Man. I don't feel like there's many Americans that are like in a really good spot to win this.
On.
But
Oh, if you don't pick him, I am. So I'll let you go.
I mean, obviously I want to pick Scottie Scheffler. Like he has been playing solid, but at the same time, like he's a great ball striker. I have to pick him. Even if his putting is okay, I have to pick Scotty.
Okay. Yes, that is the obvious choice, which is who I would have picked if you didn't. And one of the
Yeah.
rules of this game that we have going is you can't pick the same player.
No.
Yes, his ball striking has not been great, but I think said of last time, and it may have, but he basically hasn't finished outside the top 12 in the year. So it's not a
Yeah.
bad pick, especially when you're doing
No.
a cumulative. But now I need to, ooh, now you're really kind of
Know.
taking it, taking the one obvious choice.
Yep.
I'm just looking down at here. There might be some good Americans as far as dark horses go.
Are there any rules on the dark horse? Not won a major or
Ooh, we could do, but there are some major winners that you could possibly say are a dark horse. But yeah, let's make
yeah.
that part of the criteria, because to be a dark horse, you had to have not won a major.
Cinderella story.
Cinderella story.
Maybe we do that. Dark horse is anybody who is unlikely to win, but could, and then we do a Cinderella pick. First time winner.
We could do that. Yeah. Let's do that. We can add
Changing
a
the
fourth one.
rules. Yeah,
Yeah, it makes
changing the
sense.
rules as we
There are
play.
rules, so we can change it. There are rules. We can change it. So let's just do this because he's Mr. Clutch. We're gonna go Brooks.
Brooksy.
Brooks.
All right, that's a good pick. I wanted him too. All right, so we got Americans out of the way. Now it's international. You pick first.
I need to look at because I've got
I know
my
who I want.
I know who you want too, and I don't think I'm gonna pick him. But I might. I'm gonna kind of look at there it is. Looking at who I actually picked in there. Ooh, internationals. Do I pick this guy and leave the other? But no, international. We're going Cam Smith.
Oh, that
That
was my pick.
was your pick. I thought I was
Yeah.
thinking of another gentleman, but
Now, Cam Smith was, I have him highlighted right now.
highlighted.
And why
Sorry.
do I have him highlighted? One, he's a great ball striker. Two, he
Rolls the
won
rock.
it last year.
Yes.
He rolls the rock. His putting stroke is so good.
Oh, good.
And no, excellent choice. Excellent choice. Now you're throwing a curveball. You know who's been playing well, but I kind of want to pick him as my something else. Well, you did choose Cam. I'm going to just take the obvious Rory McIlroy.
There you go.
So,
That's who I was thinking you were thinking.
no,
So.
I don't think he's going to go back to back, but it is cumulative and it is place he's won. So,
Yes. Good pick. So far we've got those are pretty good. So now yours is the dark horse.
yeah.
Dun,
Ooh.
dun,
So,
dun.
my dark horse is Tyrrell Hatton.
Tyrrell Hatton. Oh, loved him. So I'm trying to remember.
Well, or is he my Cinderella story? Because he hasn't won.
He could be there, but you've already told you've already put it out there.
I know. He's
Terrell
just been,
Hatton,
he's
he
played so well.
played so good. Did you see him? It was classic Terrell Hatton in the Scottish Open. Like Wyndham Clark was doing his where he goes in, lines up his putt, gets set up. You think he's gonna hit, and then he backs off, and then he backs off. And you just like Tyrrell Hatton's just in the background, just like visible, just like disgust
Yeah,
at
he
it.
is he does and acts and says exactly what I'm thinking on the golf course. And that's why I love that man.
He can get a little heated, but
Yeah.
I don't mind the pick. I'm going because he got his heart broken. I think it's gonna be. For Dark Horse, I'm going Robert McIntyre.
Oh, that's bold. That is bold. I would have maybe chose him for Cinderella.
Yeah, I've got a good one for Cinderella.
Yeah.
I got to learn,
But
I got to actually spell his name right.
indeed.
All right. Oh, it's mine for Cinderella. I get to pick twice. So you can't take him. Love it. My Cinderella is going to be American Denny McCarthy.
Oh, really?
He, dude, can roll it about as good as Cam Smith. And
Okay.
he's been playing pretty good. So we're going with it.
Mr. McCarthy. My Cinderella, probably the most obvious pick, a non-major winner, but Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Who are you gonna do it?
Mr. Ricky Fowler.
You can do it. Riding the Ricky train. Riding that wave of Warren, you baby.
Heck yeah.
I like it. You know what we did? We could have gone, we did not pick any former major winners as a dark horse or as our dark horse.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So we get basically two and Cinderella picks each. I mean, yeah.
They're long shots in some regards, given the circumstance of who's in the field. Like Colin Morikawa, I think, is a really strong pick. He's already won one. He has great irons. He's been playing okay. I think he's a strong pick. I would have loved to have in my stable. But DJ is always good. Great wind player.
But I don't know that he would be a dark horse because he's still been playing good enough.
Yeah.
So. There you go, people. Right? It's.
There it is.
There's the bigs for you. But yeah, it'll be fun. We'll see who actually gets this drink. I didn't get you your drink, and so then I won it, so we just squashed it. In the next one, we'll actually have to do it. We'll do a post about it. I will be buying you a drink, and we'll document this on for the gram, for the socials. Yeah. So it'll actually happen. One of the two. You're doing it, or you're documenting it, giving it to me. One of the two. one of the two. Obviously, one of the two is going to happen because there's only two of us.
Bets need to be settled within the calendar year. That's bets a needed, standard.
Well, yes, because this is the last one, so we have to get that done. We need to make it a rule. It has to happen before the next major is played. So. Yep. Which is actually one of the things after I got done playing Forestdale today, played a little 9-hole round just there. You know, it was, and my listeners may not know this, but today is my birthday.
Hey, so happy birthday.
Played a little birthday round and was hanging out with my buddy on the patio afterwards. Nice. And the 18th green is right there by the patio, for those who know about Forestdale. And so what started off, we're just sitting there kind of talking. And this guy hits it into a bunker. And I'm looking at it. And I just say to my buddy, I'm like, what are the odds he doesn't rake the bunker afterwards?
Ooh.
And I'm like, I'm giving you 3-1 that he doesn't, right? So it ended up just being, we're doing dollar bets. We did a dollar bet. And so he goes in. First off, he gets in there, and as he's in, what kind of did led it me to it is before he gets in the bunker, he's looking at his shot. Before he gets in the bunker, he puts his club in and like scrapes the sand to test it, which, awesome. Just classic. So he gets in, hits it, walks out and looks like he's not going to do anything, but then he goes in and just brushes over it with his club. And I'm like, that doesn't count as a rake bunker. Right.
No.
So then I'm like, yes. So I've got this bet one, but he has to walk past the rake and he walks and then he stops, looks down and then picks up the rake and goes and rakes it. I was like, oh, come on. Which that led into about an hour long. A little over an hour long watching people and bet on shots and stuff going
that is a classic judge the book by its cover scenario.
Yeah. And so we're doing that, like who's going to hit the green, are they going to get it up and down, are they going to make this putt, who's going to step foot on the putting surface first. So we got into some fun stuff, but yeah. If you're wondering what happens while you're sitting around watching people come in on the 18th hole, that's probably what happens most of the time. But yeah, so good stuff there. Some more good stuff is, well, depends on how you look at it. Rory decided he would hit a persimmon driver.
Yeah.
Over at the British Open. And then he came out and said, everything needs to be rolled back. The ball, the clubs. And I'm like,
even the workout regimes. And let's roll back the launch monitor technology.
Let's roll back everything. No, but you know more about this. He supposedly hit it 287. So that was a big hubbub. You read more on it. All I know is he hit a persimmon driver. If he doesn't have the technology that he has now and they have to play it back, because if you're going to roll stuff back, then you have to roll back the technology that got you to this place in the first spot, right?
Yeah.
So then you just be like, okay, this is, you can mess around with shafts, but you can't like optimize it.
Yeah. And that was the really
technology.
The big thing that made this really kind of a stupid argument to me. One, he hits it 287. So what Trackman says. Trackman says he carried it 255 and he got 30 yards of roll. Okay. If you only got 30 yards of roll on the PGA Tour, they must have not like mowed the fairways that year.
Or they were really wet.
Or they were really wet. Anyway, that's besides the point. So, but it was an incredibly unoptimized driver. He had 4,400 RPM off the drive. Thing probably had a not a very good shaft for him. Obviously had the wrong loft for him. But, I mean, considering those factors, that nobody, they would not hit a driver that they saw rise like that at 4,400 RPM at a 12-degree launch. They would look at that and be like, ooh, I need to launch higher. I need to take some spin off. And basically, if you do optimize that persimmon wood, instead of carrying it 255, he probably would have carried it around 268, maybe 269. Okay. So that's a pretty big difference. So you're getting like 12 to 13 yards of carry extra just because you optimize the driver, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are in that 270 carry range, now you get your 40 to 50 yards a roll on the PGA Tour. Now you're back in the plus 300 yard drives. And that's changing nothing but the driver. And if you're hitting 300 plus yard drives in those perfect PGA Tour conditions, then you're going to be just fine. Now, it may not be the case for maybe the other players that don't hit it as hard as Rory, but that will be a challenge. But to me, the fairways make the whole thing a moot point, and the comparison, you know,
right.
If he pulls out his TaylorMade and he hits at 330 and then he hits persimmon, you know, unoptimized 280, if he optimized it, he would have been over 300 yards, in my opinion. And then now it's just a 30-yard difference, which is still huge, don't get me wrong. But optimization is key, and launch monitors played a huge part in us squeezing out every ounce in a driver.
Every ounce. I think the biggest thing that you're going to have is you're just going to hit it a little bit more offline. Because you won't have as big of head, and you won't be able to do all the stuff that you do to the interior of a club to optimize some of that.
I am completely against rolling back equipment in any capacity, but I'd say the first place where I would probably change equipment is just require PGA Tour players to play something less than 400cc. It's like 400cc or less.
Yeah.
And that just changes how forgiving the driver is. That, you know, engineers are still going to science the crap out of it, but at least that puts it in a parameter of you know, MOI management. So
exactly. So yeah, like I said, I don't think it'll The OEMs have way too much influence for that to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I won't see it, but yeah, I've every once in a while hit a Persimmon driver and it's fun. The
Oh,
sound's
that's great.
awesome. It's kind of good to get back to that, right?
I
But
love it. I actually plan on finishing like my 1970s set. Like I have these old blades from the 70s. I have these woods. I just need to get a 3 and a 5 wood, and then I need to pick up a classic sandwich, and I'm dialed. I can go out and play with my retro set, which I'm pretty excited for.
right. Yeah, no, and it's fun to play the older stuff. Just it is. But like I said, I don't think the game will ever go back to that. I just think that that's a can of worms that if you actually open it, there's just it'll trickle down, right? And then it doesn't make the game as fun for the higher handicappers, because it will eventually roll back into that. Because where do you end up marking that line where, well, let's just do it for the pros, right? Well, if you do it for
Yeah.
the pros, then high level amateurs are going to have to do it because that's how you get onto the tour, right? And
Yep.
then you do it. So, then you get into the fact that we've spoke about this before, but so then you go into a your club's men's association. So do you have like 15, 20 guys playing the rolled back stuff and the rest of the guys playing the optimized stuff? I don't know. I just don't think
Yeah.
there's a way to do it that makes sense. So that's my take on it. But some of you probably isn't looking to roll back anything, Mr. John Rahm.
Yes,
We just
Mr.
did
Ramekins.
a lengthy extension to his
Yeah.
Callaway deal.
Which
So
is it's a big deal because I think this is the first time I've seen a major player on the PGA Tour get a equity investment in his deal. Like this is really big.
yeah, I
And
think
Callaway is no slouch when it comes
no.
to
As far
what
as the
they
club
own.
deal, because I know that LA Golf did it with their shafts with a couple of players that got some ownership stakes.
Yeah, well, and that's cool. You know, invested a fun little company, but that's what it is. It's a fun little company in
Yeah,
comparison to the
this is yeah,
billion
this is a
dollar
big deal.
behemoth that Topgolf Callaway is.
little different.
A little different.
A little different. But
But
yeah,
yeah.
he's taking a page out of Messi's book and he's like, oh, you're gonna get, let's see what we can get. We're gonna ask for this and
Yeah.
see what happens. Oh, there you're gonna give it to
Well,
me? Okay, what about this?
I mean, consider this in the business world. If you're a major player, you do get equity.
Yep.
You can choose, even if you're a non-major player, you can do like employee stock purchase programs, and but if you're like an executive, oh, you get equity.
That's
That's
yeah,
part
that's
of the
part of the
deal right
deal.
off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a CEO, you're a VP of this or chief revenue officer. Anyways, though, that's where that's happening. And to have somebody like John Rahm, a figurehead of the company who will literally move the needle for Callaway, that's a big deal. I like it. I'm happy for him.
Good stuff. Things, man, maybe a foreshadowing of things to come. Who knows?
Yep.
Changing the game. So now let's get into what's in Rory's bag, because that's all
Oh,
we really,
yes.
really care about. Let's see what's
The Rory. No, we care about much more than that.
much more than that.
But yeah, with Rory's success at the Scottish Open, it is cool us go through a completely custom bag, and there were some surprises in there that I was unaware of, and very interested to see actually. But starting at the top of the bag, the driver, TaylorMade Stealth 2 Plus. I guess he's learned to love it, and it's working out great. He's got the TR Blue 6X Ventus, which is, I've seen him bounce between the black.
Yeah, but I think he's
But
stuck
with
with
you,
the TR, the blue TR, since he was, it's he's had it in his bag for a good couple months, I believe.
yeah.
Just because
And would you?
with the Stealth 2, I think it's what he's had to do to get the numbers and the ball flight that he wanted.
Yeah. And how would you compare the Stealth to the Stealth 2?
I haven't done much testing. I haven't loved the Stealth either way, but I
Yeah.
have just from people that I have spoke with that have played both, they don't like the Stealth 2 as much as the original Stealth.
Yeah.
Performance wise, just hasn't been as good. 'Cause you play the Stealth Two, right? Or do you play just the
I guess
stealth?
I have this what the one.
The one.
Yeah. Stealth 1.0. And I remember him playing Aventus Black in the Stealth 1.0. And so the blue TR isn't too different from the black, but probably just gives him the launch that he's looking for. Maybe the new Stealth 2 is just a little bit lower spin or something. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Whatever he's done,
But it was
he's
good.
made it work.
He smokes it. I mean, absolutely smothers the ball. You could put poop on a stick and he's gonna hit it, which he did, and it still went pretty far. Three wood TaylorMade Stealth 2 Plus, 15 degrees bumped up to 13. It's like a little mini driver.
I
And
don't
he's
think he's
got,
always done that. I think he just did that for the Scottish. My guess
yeah,
is
a
so that
little
he can
lower
hit that
flight.
lower flight.
Yeah, I mean, he's so long, it's not like he needs a three wood to land soft into a green, because
Right.
he's gonna hit a 350 yard drive and he's gonna have an iron in his hands to a par five. So he's not gonna need the three wood to do that, but he needs something he can flight in the wind. And I think that's where it is. And I believe a picture that I saw on that club, not only was it lofted to 13, but the weight was pushed all the way for the face. So it's just a bullet machine, is what that is.
Yes. It is a bullet machine, which, like I said, in that link style, right? If he does need to hit that shot, he can probably get that shape that around
Yep.
a lot better.
Totally. And then no five wood, no seven wood. He
Nope,
jumps
for this
straight
one.
into the irons.
Yep. And he took out the 3 iron, put in a 2 iron. Obviously, another byproduct of conditions and course, right? Threw in a 2 iron that again just can hit low bullets.
Yeah, exactly. And this was what was interesting. I mean, TaylorMade has such a wide variety of long irons, driving irons, a variation. And he went to a 2 iron. It was even bent a little bit stronger, maybe even say 1 iron territory. But it's a TaylorMade P760, which I thought was like, wow, that's something you usually don't see.
Yeah.
Typically you'd see like a P790 driving iron,
Yeah.
or maybe like a custom P770, which I think Tiger had made for him, which are like a hollow cavity design. But with Rory, I mean, this is just a forged head,
Yeah.
just straight up cavity back, older iron. But I didn't catch the loft. What they, I think it was 17, if I am not mistaken. But it was a good fit because it was a club he used on 18 to just hit a nice little butter cut into the wind and
Yeah.
land it drop and seal the victory. So super cool to see that. And then he also has the same club in the four iron. So and
Yeah.
his lofts, I wouldn't say, are too strong. So the four iron's probably in the 23,
Three,
24 degree
yeah,
range.
probably.
And for one of the best, actually the best player in the world, he's got a cavity back four iron, which tells you
He's not quite
something.
the best player in the world yet. He can take over the number one spot again
Okay,
with
fine.
a win.
Last week he was the best player in
Last week
the
he was the best player in the world.
world.
He's been there. That's been kind of a rotating with him, Scheffler, and Rahm
Yeah,
the
they're
last
just
little bit.
mix and match. But you know, if you have a blade four iron in your bag, you're probably pure, but who cares? Because Rory's out here winning money with cavity back four irons, so
Yeah,
eat that.
exactly.
But he does have his custom tailor-made Roars Proto 5 through 9 in the P730s, which are super pure. They're just a custom milled iron for him, and still based on the P730s. Like, this is like 5 years old now. And he's not switching, and nobody seems to care. And there it is. Rory's still playing his old irons. Those were the same irons they made him when he joined TaylorMade.
Yeah.
So, however long ago, when did Nike close doors? Wasn't that like 2016,
Oh
2018?
yeah. 20, probably 27 to 2017,
Yeah, so at
2018
least
ish.
5 or 6 years ago, that was happening. Maybe a little bit more, but those same irons.
Yeah.
So, and I love that, actually. I don't like it when people switch equipment just because it's required,
Yeah,
but
just because it's, oh, we got the new one, you've got to play this, right?
yeah.
And as much as they would like, they would actually prefer their player winning. This
Yeah, exactly.
is.
And then as we round out the bag with the wedges, there are some new product in here that's
Yep.
not been released yet. He does have an MG3 46 degree, but then the MG4s in 50, 54, and 60.
Right.
So the MG4s are different in the sense I don't think they changed anything with like the actual design. Like, did they change the center of gravity? It looks identical to the MG3, other than the fact that it's just all raw. So I anticipate the wedges going to the retail space being all raw. That's
Yeah.
what I'm guessing. Which isn't a bad thing. I love raw wedges.
I play raw wedges, like I said. And Rory used to be one of those guys that had played Vokey wedges for a long time, actually.
He won this year with Vokey wedges,
Yeah.
and so TaylorMade basically re-engineered a sole to look exactly like that wedge. And I think he just messes around with stuff all the time, anyways. But he's got a pretty low bounce, or it's said is low bounce, but a 60-08
Yeah.
lob wedge, which may play with more effective or less effective bounce. Who knows? But you got to have those great wedges for those tight lies out there.
For sure. So he's got that, and then he's stuck with he's got this TaylorMade Spider X as his putter, which has been
Yeah,
there for a while, and then
it has been.
the TaylorMade TP5X and his classic MCC grips. That he's played for forever. So
Poster child for that. But I mean, great bag, great win, great setup. I will say a lot of low bounce wedges are getting prepped for the British Open this week. And with the US Open victory coming from a Vokey A grind, I think that wedge is going to be pretty hot
yeah.
this week. So I'm excited to see what happens in the Vokey van. I saw a few A grinds get produced, and That's pretty exciting. So, and of course, the tea grind, that will be there.
Yes. Yeah, the T grind will be there for sure. There'll probably be some low bounce K's that have been right. There's gonna be a lot of custom grinding going on to get it there. It may play a little softer, so who knows what'll happen. Just because if they get all that rain, it will be a little bit softer around there, the course. So we may end up with not an A grind, T grind, or low bounce in the winner's bag. But you'll have to wait till next Monday or Tuesday morning to find out from us what that actually was. You can check other spots, but you may as well just come and listen to us and find that information out. But I think that's it. There's going to be way more golf this week, right? Because they got the major, so there's obviously an opposite field event in the Barracuda. So that's in Tahoe, I think. So lots of bombs being hit
Totally.
in the high altitude. One thing that we didn't talk about is Steph Curry eagling the final hole at the Century. I think it's the Century Celebrity Classic in Tahoe. But yeah, makes an eagle. They must have been playing it super short because I think he had like 120 into a par five. But they move him up. Obviously, some of these celebrities that are playing are not polished golfers.
No.
But he does that. But it was an unfortunate incident where Marty Fish, who was leading going into the 18th hole, my guess it was a Steph Curry fan that just absolutely let out some blood-curdling screech right as Marty Fish was in his downswing. And he's a lefty, and he hit a pull, had to punch it out, hit it up there, and just left his birdie putt short that would have made that then Curry would have had to make to tie because of the Stableford system. But good week for Steph Curry. Makes a one on Saturday and then rolls in an eagle putt to get the win. To, I think they said it was the first or one of the first time in a long time that an actual active player, professional athlete had won this tournament. So congrats on Steph.
Sweet.
He showed himself way better than he did in the match a few weeks ago. Was hitting a driver a little bit better. But yeah, other than that, I think that's it. Enjoy the golf this week. Get some naps in so that you can watch as much of that late night, early morning golf. I mean, you're gonna have people in on the West Coast that basically get to watch 4 hours of coverage before they can go to bed at a decent hour.
I know, totally.
So yeah, go enjoy that, everybody. Thanks for listening. And if you can, give us a rating review and share with your friends. But until next time, we are out.